Did Australian mining giant BHP have the power to prevent a mining disaster that killed 19 people and left 600 homeless? In November of last year, the town of Bento Rodrigues in Brazil was hit hard when mining waste burst from a dam at BHP's joint venture iron ore mine. Locals only had minutes to escape the rush of muddy sludge from the dam collapse, which some say was caused by the mine ramping up production to offset a falling iron ore price. Now, ABC's Four Corners has found evidence of problems at the mine dating back almost a decade. So could the mine's owners, BHP and Vale, have prevented the environmental disaster? Four Corners reporter Ben Knight joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Ben. How are you doing?
Good, Mitch. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for asking. Now, you were in the area days after what had happened. What did you see?
Well, exactly what you would expect to see, and I'm sure people have seen the pictures of it. So exactly back in November when this happened, I was based in Washington, and we got down there as fast as we could to report on it for ABC News. And we did actually manage to get into what we'll call ground zero, where the search was still going on. And what you saw was just this enormous expanse of this foul mud, which had swallowed most of this village. So what happened was when it came through, basically everybody who could tried to get to the high ground. And so the village is on kind of a hill. At the top of the hill, you've got some buildings that are still standing, but most of it was just completely swamped by this sludge that burst out of the tailings dam just a few kilometres up the hill.
Yes, let's talk about the dam. Just how did it break? Was there some kind of monitoring system in place?
Well, this is, I had a chat with BHP's chief executive who made the point, and he's right, that this is a very, very complex structure, and it is. But if you want to break it down, yeah, the dam wall burst. The question then becomes, why and how did it burst? And if you talk to Brazilian prosecutors, the picture that they are putting together is that it burst because of an excess of water. So just to explain how a tailings dam works for a bit, essentially what it is, when you mine iron ore, there's waste product. It's mostly, at its most basically level, it's a mix of water, sand, and other minerals. And it's held permanently in these giant tailings dams. And the wall of the dam itself is built out of the same material. But if you're going to do that, you have to make sure that it's dry or that you at least have got the water levels under control. And what Brazilian prosecutors have been saying is that that didn't really happen. We know that in the very early phase of the dam's construction, it was shut down for a year and a half to repair drainage problems. And once that was done, the dam was operating again. But if you talk to prosecutors there, they will tell you, and certainly a dam designer and consultant that I spoke to said, I found evidence of what I thought was excessive water in the dam. I advised the company to do something about it. I don't know if they ever did. Prosecutors in Brazil say, look, it didn't happen. There was too much water in there. They didn't monitor it properly. They didn't install the right devices to monitor it properly. And they say this is the result. What they also say is there's another contributing factor. That is that the dam was at the time that it burst in the process of being expanded. So most of the people who were killed were in fact the mine workers, mine contractors, who were raising the height of the dam wall.
Wow.
The reason it was being expanded is because it needed to hold more material. As the price of iron ore fell, the company Samarco, half owned by BHP, was ramping up production. That was its corporate response to the falling iron ore price. So you have a picture where you have a dam that has ongoing problems under extra pressure because of the need to simply put more material into it.
Now, you're going to this into more detail on Four Corners tonight, but you've mentioned Brazilian prosecutors a number of times so far. So what is the legal situation in the fallout of this disaster?
It is also enormously complex. I think one of the things that came through is that Brazilian police and Brazilian prosecutors, certainly the ones we spoke to, are angry. I guess I don't know why that surprised me, but I was really quite taken by the passion with which they are pursuing the investigation. But there are a number of them. So we spoke with one federal prosecutor, we spoke with one state prosecutor, There are also other prosecutors. There are also NGOs, environmental groups, who will be bringing, we expect, legal action against BHP and its co-owner, Vale. But they are all building their own case. And in fact, you have the state police, who just last week asked a Brazilian court to arrest six of Samarco's executives and managers who face charges of qualified homicide and crimes against the environment. So the legal situation, there are a number of threads to it. I think it's only just starting up. We're expecting, I would think, within the next couple of days, we'll see that BHP have signed what's essentially an out-of-court settlement, an agreement with the Brazilian government to really set some terms for the clean-up. You'll see that there will be probably a dollar figure on that, something in the order of $7 to $8 billion. But I don't think that's going to be the end of it, because we obviously went and spoke to the people who were the victims of this, the people who've lost their homes and lost their livelihoods. As far as compensation goes, they are really just getting the bare minimum at the moment. No one really is talking to them about compensation for things like lost earnings or pain and suffering. So all that is to come, let alone what the environmental groups are going to bring. Because, you know, there are Brazilian authorities who call this the worst environmental disaster in the country's mining history.
Well, so much still to come in this story. Ben, thanks so much for joining us on 2SER this morning.
Thanks, Mitch.